All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is now 10 o'clock, and it is time to begin the general membership meeting for the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind for the month of April. I am Susan Glass, your president, and we will begin, as we always do today, with introductions. So we'll get a mic going around. Diane, you want to...
Hold on.
Okay.
Well, you can go, Alex.
Last time we cut it between the table. There we go. Okay. Good morning. It's Alice McGrath. Good morning. It's Alice McGrath, your vice president, with my guide, Cora.
Zeus is up here, too. We're a three-dog night table.
Okay.
Diane Harms, recording secretary, and Morty is to my right.
Now we need a mic run around for everyone else. Roger, are you here?
Roger, volunteer Roger?
Yes, Roger,
yeah.
Here.
Yeah, is there an extra mic that can be run around so people can introduce themselves?
I'll have to look.
There's this one in the stand, but we should have a portable.
We got two mics here.
Okay, Tim, you can take those. Take one of those around. That would be
so
wonderful.
Just tap
testing. It's working.
Yeah.
Would you like to announce your name?
Art Takahara, Mountain View. Why don't you get Sam over here?
Okay. Sam? Who's Sam?
Right here.
Okay, Sam, what's your last name?
Chen.
Sam Chen is also here. Okay. Okay, my dear.
Hi, this is Michelle and Garvey, fundraising chair, Mountain View.
Hi, this is John Glass from Saratoga.
Hello, it's Bev Clifford from San Jose, your goodies chairperson, and I would like to officially thank Suzanne for these amazing goodies. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Gina Macero from San Jose. I'm a newbie.
Great.
All right, thank you.
I'm Tamara Carney from Cupertino with Rex. And if there is someone here who is fairly proficient in Nemeth, would you please see me after the meeting? Thank you. I need you to look at a file.
Hi, I'm Julianne Trin from Sunnyvale.
Patricia Joyce from Los Altos.
Barbara Dickinson, Mountain View.
Charlie Stein, otherwise known as the Crusher from Palo Alto.
Right side.
Hi, I'm Camille Gilmore from Santa Clara.
Hi, this is Caroline Owens from San Jose, and I wish everybody a good day.
Good morning, everyone. This is John Kanzi here. I would like to welcome everybody to our fourth SVCB meeting of the month, and I would like to say that my mother Mary is doing very well, and she's using a walker near her bed and near the dining room table, and is under doctor's orders to go to the gym every day, and of course, my brother could not make it today because he's in San Diego, but they should be back here for the meeting in May. But I wish everybody a good day.
Okay. Hello.
Speaker came in and she's up front.
Okay.
Good morning. It's John McNulty from Sunnyvale, board member.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Roger Peterson from Mountain View.
Suzanne Smith from Sunnyvale and also the goodies person for today.
Good morning, this is Patrick Wilkes, a board member from San Jose, and I'm the Braille Literacy Committee Chair, and I want to say congratulations, Camille.
Rob Turner, Sunnyvale, immediate past president.
Let's see. Alan Jones from Santa Clara, helping Donna with the lunch, collect the money, and thank you, Huff, for bringing the correct change.
Donna?
Hello, this is Donna, lunch chair.
Good morning, this is Nancy.
Okay.
Let me get Naomi over here. Naomi, give him your speech.
It's Naomi, corresponding secretary and committee's chair for the hospitality.
Okay. Hi.
Well, let's pass it down, because she. Is that everyone?
Did I get everybody?
How about just our two speakers that I'm just.
But joined. Susan's going to introduce us.
Well, introduce yourself just on mic, and then I'll give you
Hi, everybody. My name is Viet, and I'm from British California.
Good morning. This is Jan again. I'm with Breathe California. I am the presenter today. I'm going to be talking about the benefits of exercise.
I'm Roger Havasey. I'm Naomi's friend, and I love helping you people out. Okay. I think we got it.
Okay.
I turned it off. Yeah.
Our solo volunteer extraordinaire today. Thank you, Roger. I need to extend
thank you. This is Ding.
Sounds like sorry. I was singing by myself. Sorry.
Oh, sorry, I missed you. That was D.
Dean Chen is here as well. Welcome, Dean. I want to say thank you to...
What about Mike? We forgot Mike.
Mike Keithley.
Yeah. Oh, he's in the corner.
Mike's in the corner.
Mike, this is not right. Mike Keithley, board member, a former past president, an editor, a writer extraordinaire, fabulous gentleman. I want to thank Charlie Stein and Alan for their diligent furniture moving before we got started this morning, and Charlie and Dean getting the water and coffee going, and Roger fixing the ailing power strip, and Julia Trin and Suzanne doing volunteer. We can't do things without everybody, so thank you. It's both our internal and outternal. Outternal? What word is that? External hospitality group keeping things going here. Yeah, well, English teachers make up words. What can I tell you? I'm as close to it as I can be. Perhaps Mike can.
Maybe the volume.
Maybe.
A little bit on the mic.
Roger.
I don't know. Is that better? Okay. Well, I wasn't saying much anyway. We're going to begin today, before our wonderful program, with an extremely exciting presentation. We have the honor today of awarding our Barbara Rhodes Adaptive Technology Grant, which, as you know, is an annual $1,000 award that goes to a deserving person who is blind or visually impaired and who is requesting adaptive technology for educational, vocational, or avocational, that is, life quality improvement purposes. So we're going to present our Barbara Rhodes Award at this time. This year's recipient is Ms. Camille Gilmore, and I'll tell you a little bit about Camille. She, I'll pass my notes here. Camille was diagnosed as legally blind with glaucoma at the Vista Center Low Vision Clinic. She has attended Mission College since 2011, where she is earning a community health worker certificate and also an associate's degree in sociology. She has thus far completed 60 units, and she has 3 more semesters ahead of her. In addition to her studies, Camille volunteers as an assistant in the Adaptive Physical Education Program at Mission, and she also helps out at Vista Center. She will use her grant award to purchase school supplies and adaptive technology. For instance, from the Vista store, she'll be purchasing things like eyewear, shades, 10/20 pens, bold line paper. She's going to get a Symantec endpoint protection system. Kurzweil 1000 reading machine upgrade, and a Clearview C-Speech 24-inch HD desktop magnifier. So you may already know Camille if you've seen her at the Santa Clara Valley Blind Center or at Vista Center, but we are absolutely thrilled, Camille, at this time to be able to present you with your Barbara Rhodes Adaptive Technology check for $1,000. Ms. Camille Gilmore. Yay. Maybe we can get Camille on mic to say a few words, and I have a check for her.
Okay, so thank you so much. Okay, so where is it?
Where'd it go?
Here's the hand.
Hold on. Here you go.
Okay. Hello, everyone. As you know, I'm Camille Gilmore, and I really appreciate highly this scholarship. It's really helped me a lot. I could just cry because it's really helped me my education, and it's awesome. I appreciate Naomi, Susan, the Barbara Rhodes Program, and
Alice
McGrath, because they really kind of know me, but I really appreciate it, Holly. I'm speechless a little bit, but thank you guys so much. I love everybody. Really do.
You bet. And your name will go up on our website along with the list of the other grant winners. We're getting our own little Hall of Fame here. It's pretty exciting. We are just absolutely tickled for you. We're really, really delighted about this. Are San Mateo folks here? Okay. I think we'll proceed. What's that? I think then that we'll proceed with our program. Today, for our program segment, we are privileged to have with us Janet Ganim and Viet. They work for Breathe California, and Janet is the director of Seniors Breathe Easy at Breathe California. Naomi first told me about Janet and her wonderful presentations at the Santa Clara Valley Blind Center, and indeed, when I contacted her to give us a program today, she provided a list of so many options. She said that she could talk to us about preventing pulmonary ailments and diseases, preventing influenza, indoor air quality, and how we often think about air pollutants in the outdoor air, but not the indoor air, benefits of physical exercise. She just had so many topics. So we settled on the benefits of physical exercise. And I'm hoping, Janet, that before the day is out, you might also be able to tell us a little bit about the various health screenings. I know that we can't do them here today, you know, such as the measuring oxygen levels in one's blood pressure, and so on, that are also provided. But without any further ado, I will turn the program over to Janet and Viet.
Thank you so much, Susan, and it's a privilege for me to be here with you guys this morning. I'm going to be talking for about 20 or 25 minutes. It's like a short presentation, but afterward, then I would entertain comments or questions, and I think I'll have Viet, my colleague here today, go around with the microphone and give you the microphone so you can make your comment or question for everyone to hear. So let me begin. I am from Breathe, California, as Susan let you know. But what do? We are the clean air and healthy lungs people in the Bay Area since 1911. Our mission is to fight lung disease in all its forms and to work with our communities to protect lung health. Our services include tobacco control programs. We help people quit smoking. We also offer asthma services. One of my favorite programs is it's called Camp Superstuff, and it is a camp for children ages 6 to 12 who have asthma, and it's held at a community center in San Jose. It's a week-long day camp and paid for by Valley Health Plan or Santa Clara Valley Health Plan, and we invoice. And there's also scholarships, but other than that, for the 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, is only $120. What the children learn is how to manage their asthma symptoms. They get an hour each morning and an hour each afternoon in asthma management. They have homework. They get a little booklet. But in every other way, it's just like any child's asthma camp. There's a swimming pool at the site, so they get to go swimming. We also take them on field trips. One really popular thing that they love to do is going to the Sharks ice rink and ice skating. Other things that we have done is go to the Tech Museum and go bowling. Let's see. Oh, and on the last day of the camp, the children graduate and the families come for a potluck, and then the kids perform skits that they've done or sing songs, and it really is fabulous for them. We have clean air programs, as Susan mentioned. We partner with the Breathe California in San Francisco. It's like our sister office. And they each year award a clean air award to an agency and an individual who are nominated and who win to receive this Clean Air Award, and it's quite prestigious for them to get this award. Lung Health Services, maybe at the end I'll explain a little bit more about our lung screenings, all right? Community education, like me and Viet being here today. Advocacy programs, for many years, 30, 40 years, we have been advocating as the voice of the community to protect everyone from exposure to secondhand smoke. So we go and provide testimony at City Hall when they are deciding, you know, should we make multi-unit housing smoke-free? Well, heck yeah. They really should be doing that. What about standing in line for a bus? Should that be smoke-free? Yeah. Oh, yes. It really should. It really needs to be. We are also doing an effort right now that outdoor dining should be smoke-free in every city in this county, and we're working on that. Also, we are working on banning sales of e-cigarettes and flavored tobacco. And actually, I have another presentation just on that, because it's a new emerging form of tobacco that the tobacco industry is lining their pockets with. And it's very popular among youth, middle school age kids, high school age kids. And what are they looking at? A lifetime of addiction to nicotine. So we want to prevent that. We also fund research projects. There is a physician at Stanford who has been doing research on the best ways to treat lung cancer. And actually, she has a commercial out right now that I keep seeing. I said, oh, that's the lady we give the money to. And she is the one who's been developing the body's own defense system to fight cancer. So the body's own immune system to fight cancer. So we give, you know, it's not a huge amount of money, but we've been consistent over many years in giving it. Okay, so let's talk about the benefits of exercise. What do we mean by exercise? Exercise means exerting the body for the sake of improving health. Every chronic disease can be improved by exercise. Chronic diseases can also be prevented by getting regular exercise. And it's never too late to begin an exercise program to improve your health. So I went online when I made this presentation, and I found a chart. And this chart is from Social Security website, and it's called an actuarial table. Actuarial tables tell you, like, when you're supposed to die on average, at what age. And so this chart, it begins in 1900, and it goes all the way. Oh, wow, this is really small. I can't see it in my notes because it shrank. Oh, yeah, you got one? I need it.
You
come
to the right place.
Oh, my gosh. I think it says 2,900, but I'm going to find out here. And thanks for being patient. Oh, yeah. Oh, right, perfect. Okay, let me see. Oh, no. It goes from the year 1900 to 2100.
Wow, okay.
Okay, yes. And the point of the whole thing is that in 1900, the median age for end of life for men was 55 years old. In 1999, it was 77, a difference of 22 years. And it's a little bit more right now. Women gained almost 25 years of life from 58.2 years, the year that would be the age they were, you know, dying in 1900, to 82 and a half years in 1999. I should improve these numbers to 2016. But as life expectancy grows, what will your last years be like? Beginning an exercise program can help ensure those years will be filled with health, vitality, and independence. Let's talk about the benefits of exercise. Well, like I just said, you can add more years to your life. Now, this is important, so pay attention to this. Sedentary people, those are couch potatoes, right? Generally reach the threshold of no longer being able to perform the activities of daily living without assistance at age 80. Active people don't reach this threshold for 10 or 20 more years. What are more benefits of exercise? Can lower your cholesterol level. Cholesterol, you know, mucks up your veins and arteries. It can contribute to high blood pressure, a lot of bad things, stroke and stuff like that. Exercise can lower your risk of the most common chronic diseases. It can increase your energy and your vitality. It improves your quality of sleep. It can reduce your stress and tension. It can improve your insulin sensitivity and blood sugar handling. And this is a big problem in among our population now. The incidence of diabetes is going up. You know, we've raised ourselves and our children, I'm guilty of that, on sugar. Oh, darn, the humans just love it. And other animals do. I mean, you shouldn't be giving sugar to your guide dogs, to your horses, to birds. Have you ever, I've seen birds who on their feet they get these huge lumps, and then they can't grab a tree branch. I used to go eat at a place where a bunch of blackbirds were around, and people would feed them, and they'd eat the crumbs, sugary crumbs there, and there was a whole bunch of those poor birds. Exercise can also elevate your mood and increase your mental performance. It can increase your body's percent of lean muscle versus body fat. The average person loses about 6.5 pounds of muscle every decade after young adulthood. So, and young adulthood is considered the age of 25. So we all need to increase our exercise, because just naturally we're going to be losing this lean muscle. And we might talk more about this at the end of this talk, but exercise also reduces the chances of falls or of falling again. 30% of all people over the age of 65 fall each year, and half of older adults hospitalized with a hip fracture are unable to return home or live independently again. I also know that active people who have good muscle tone, if they should fall, they don't get hurt as badly as someone who has poor muscle tone. Now let's talk about motivation. The dictionary defines motivation as that which gives purpose and direction to behavior. The word root, and I suppose this is probably Latin, comes from, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, motivus, M-O-T-I-V-U-S, serving to move. Isn't that the point of exercise? But here's another important phrase to think about. Motivation is not something we wait for, but something that we create. Now, discipline. Exercise program needs discipline. Make exercise a part of your regular routine or habit. Set a time for exercising each day and stick to it. However, we all know things happen. Building flexibility into your routine will help you stick to it. If one day you don't feel up to walking for 30 minutes, decide to walk for 10 minutes instead. Now, how do you keep your commitment to your exercise program? Being healthy isn't a decision you make once. It's a decision that you make every day. Write down your exercise goals, and also write down your rewards. Then what I want you to do is reflect periodically how far you have come accomplishing your personal exercise plan. Notice if you feel differently. Have you begun to sleep better, for example? Is your mood a little bit improved? You know, do a body scan of yourself and see if you feel any different, because this is going to help motivate you to stick to your plan. Now, what might be some of your rewards? Make your reward match your accomplishment. For example, if your daily goal is to walk around your building, reward yourself by watching your favorite program on TV afterwards, or a DVD or movie. Listen to some music. If you meet your weekly goal of walking or working out 6 out of 7 days, take a trip to the bookstore. If you meet your monthly goal, your reward might be getting a facial, a manicure, or a massage. Something like that. It's also a good idea to make exercising fun. Make an exercising pact with a friend or a spouse. Encourage each other to stick to your plans, including the rewarding. Build more challenging exercise activities into your plan as your strength grows. Select activities that you enjoy, that you can adhere to, that you can vary to eliminate boredom. Gardening, swimming, bird watching, or dancing can be considered exercise. Okay, here's some caveats to share with you. Don't begin without medical approval. Check with your doctor before starting your exercise plan. If you have a chronic disease such as heart disease, lung disease, there are medically supervised exercise programs to enroll in. So what I'm talking about is cardio rehabilitation programs or pulmonary rehabilitation programs. There's hospitals in the area, O'Connor Hospital, El Camino Hospital. I know the head of the pulmonary rehab program at El Camino, Missy. I've known her for many years. She has a wonderful program up there. And you don't need to worry about, you know, falling or getting too short of breath, because the nurse is right there to help you and monitor you. They have oxygen right there if you need it. They can take your blood pressure. And Medicare pays for this at least for a certain amount of time, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, something like that. And after that, then it's I don't think it's real expensive if you want to continue with the medically supervised program. So what equipment is necessary? Well, I'm going to tell you, but you can probably guess. Good walking shoes, a sun hat, sunscreen. You know, soup cans and water bottles can double as free weights. In the case of water bottles, at first, you can fill it half full so it's not too heavy. And then as your strength grows, add some more water. And then a sturdy chair. It's possible to do chair exercises. So actually, that was the end of my presentation. I really do appreciate your attention. If Viet, do you want to go get the other microphone, turn it on, and then go around? And I see a hand up already. So, yeah, there you go.
Okay, my two questions are...
Is it on?
No. Okay, my two questions are, what are you doing as far as the smoking that's going on in the schools? And then also, what are you doing as far as the amount of pesticides that's going on the fruits and vegetables, the crops, and its connection to cancer?
Okay. Let me address the second part. That's pesticides and stuff that gets sprayed on our food supply, and its relation to cancer is an important thing, but I'm not versed in that area, so I don't think I can really address that. What I do know is you got to rinse your vegetables really good. They even make some kind of mild soap, I think, that you can wash your vegetables and stuff in. Okay. So someone else to ask. Let me get the... Viet has an answer. Okay.
Yeah, about pesticide, if you're worried about pesticide, I advise you to buy organic foods because they don't use any pesticide or fertilizer.
Oh, good point. Yeah. That's a good point. Organic. Yeah. Yes, wash.
Choose wisely, like the banana. You always have to peel the banana instead of like an apple.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, the first part of your question, what are we doing in the schools about tobacco? We, Breathe California, is very concerned about the e-cigarettes and its popularity among youth. We have a program called Counseling Leadership Against Smoking Pressure, or CLASP. And it's a program where we train high school age student mentors to go lead classes for middle school age kids to inform them about tobacco and what, you know, all the dangers and everything, so that the middle school age children can make informed decisions about whether or not they're going to smoke. And we do things, we have them practice assertiveness versus aggressive or passiveness. And it's a 4-session, once a week program. We don't have funding to do it right now. We always are applying for grants so that we can do this type of work. But it is very effective program for everyone concerned. Thank you for the question. So we'll take another. Okay.
This is not a question. This is a suggestion to people. I take a low-impact exercise class at Cypress Senior Center, and I'm sure some of the other senior centers might have the same program. It's excellent. We do weights. This is sitting down in a chair. Weights, bands, and then all kinds of different exercises, and Tai Chi and Qigong.
Thank you. That sounds like a wonderful program.
Hi, this is John. This is going to be an easy question for you. Can you tell us what an e-cigarette is?
Oh yeah. So e-cigarettes were developed in China in 2006. 2007, it was already over here in the United States, and the popularity was just growing gangbusters. An e-cigarette is a device. It's like, I think, made of metal or ceramic or something like that. They're quite heavy. There are many, many different types of it. But what it is, it's electronically ignited nicotine liquid that the person inhales. It was first sold advertised as a smoking cessation device, but the FDA determined that was hogwash. We knew that already because, you know, it still had the hand-to-mouth method of delivery. The other thing about it is that although you could buy they call it e-juice, like electronic juice, the liquid, you could buy it in different levels of milligrams of nicotine. But when they tested it, they found out that what the bottle said and what was actually inside had no relation to one another. E-cigarettes have led to poisonings. So the e-juice vial, I guess you call it, looks exactly like eye drops, the little eye drop bottle. Also, children, if they pick up one of these cigarettes, which careless adults or even teens might leave on a table, all they have to do is draw on it, put it in their mouth and draw on it. It's activated, and they're smoking. Like a two-year-old can do that. So, and there have been poisonings. There have also been fires. So these e-cigarettes, they have to be charged. So they make these things where you could charge it in your car. And I've seen pictures of fires of the inside of a car. And just recently, like in the last month or two, I was just on vacation and I traveled by air. So now the aviation industry does not allow e-cigarettes in on the airplane at all, and there are signs all over, and they also make those announcements. Is that a good enough answer? Okay.
I have actually two questions. One is, what do you consider is sanitary? What is that?
Oh,
is
sedentary.
That, yeah, and then second question is, I notice a lot of people still smoke on the street and by the bus. How do you stop that from doing that without getting into a fight with them?
Oh. Okay, let me do the sedentary thing first. And, you know, I can't say that I have a definitive, like so many hours of sitting in the chair. Viet, do you know of a definitive way to explain what a sedentary? I would say that my job is sedentary because I sit at a computer, you know, versus someone who's a gardener and works outside. Anyone else? I'll open this question, or I'll open this answer to the whole room.
So I guess the question is, how much exercise do you have per day?
Okay. Number one, I would ask that question of your healthcare provider, because it would be different for every person, and you would start, you know, at a comfortable level. But I would ask your medical provider. And age, I think, is a factor too. I'm going to make a stab at it and say, you know, start out two or three times a week with walking, you know, and then get stronger. But again, take your cues from your healthcare provider.
Okay. And then the second question about
he's not done yet.
Oh, sorry.
Viet, he's not done, so give him the microphone back.
The second question was about the cigarette smoking on the street.
Yeah. Okay. I forgot. Yeah, that is a problem. It's a problem because when you are waiting for a bus, you don't want to lose your place in line. It could be a particular problem for low vision people, because you can't look at the person or even know who's smoking, so what are you going to do? Whoever is smoking, please stop. I guess you could say that. You could make the announcement that smoking in service lines is not allowed. But I'll tell you, the cities are different. In San Jose, smoking in service lines, bus line, or, you know, buying a ticket for, I don't know, movie or whatever, is not allowed. But Mountain View, it's not on the top of my head what the ordinance includes in the city of Mountain View. You could, no matter where you are, make an announcement that, you know, you smell smoke, or the smoke that you detect is harmful to you, and please, could that person walk away? They have to walk away 20 feet in order for you to be safe.
Doesn't help if they're downwind, though.
Oh, yeah. Smoke goes 20 feet in all directions, and yes, it is blown on the wind for sure. I want to let you know, too, that Breathe California maintains a secondhand smoke helpline. You can call our helpline to make a secondhand smoke complaint. That number is 408-999-0500. You can call it anytime. You don't get a live voice, but you can describe your complaint. The city of San Jose code enforcement have told us that they will send someone out, go out for service line smoking complaints. And their reasoning is, if someone is waiting for a bus or someone is, you know, buying a ticket or whatever, they're still going to be there in 10 minutes or 20 minutes or however long it takes them to get there. So that is my understanding. Is that a right answer?
Yeah. Good.
Okay.
I just have a comment about exercise. There's a book that I read recently. It's really good. It's in audio form even. It's called Move Your DNA. And it's really good. And some of the suggestions in there I've kind of taken to heart, like, for example, finding an exercise program that I am actually enjoying and loving doing, because, you know, we aren't going to be that motivated to do things that we don't like to do. So you don't have to necessarily work out at a gym, but if that's what floats your boat, go ahead. But, and then changing the exercise program frequently to keep it interesting and fun. And the other thing is, I know I have days when I do have to sit at my desk a lot. And so one of the things that I do that's really helpful is I change positions a lot, and I make myself take breaks and go and walk for a little bit and then come back. But I change my position. Sometimes I'm even on the floor in a yoga position. I have an exercise ball that I sit on sometimes. Just changing that position so that our muscles aren't habituating to a particular position all the time, because we all have a kind of our favorite positions that we love. But it's not a good idea to just always be in those positions. So,
thank you.
There you go.
I don't know if you can answer this, but I'm just curious. I grew up with a father who smoked in the house. This is, you know, back in the day. Mm-hmm. He smoked in the house. He smoked out of the house. I used to wash ashtrays, which I hated. Are there statistics on what secondhand smoke did to those of us who got raised in a house like that? Ever since I left home, I was in a totally non-smoking environment, basically, except for, well, I had friends who smoked earlier, but they don't anymore. Anyway, are there any statistics on what it did to us?
Yeah, I suppose there are statistics, but I'm not going to bore you with numbers, even if I knew. But what I have to say, and what is known, is that children raised around secondhand smoke, it can cause them to develop asthma. It can cause them to have more ear infections. I was in the same household as you. I had so many ear infections as a child, more upper respiratory infections of children. Also, children are smaller body mass than an adult. So even the small amount of tobacco smoke is more toxic to them than it is to a grown-up sized person. And I know that my lungs never developed correctly because of exposure to secondhand smoke. So I was, you know, one of God's children when I was born, and I had flaws and everything, but my lungs were better on day one than they became later from exposure to secondhand smoke. And I shudder to this day when I look at our V8 family movies where we're smoking around my nieces and nephews inside the house. So that's generally not accepted these days. Most parents know. Most pregnant women will quit. You know, and that's another thing, smoking during pregnancy. All right? Next.
I just had a comment. Smoking is also not good for dogs because when I was at Guide Dogs a long time ago, a man smoked. He smoked outside like he was supposed to, but he dropped ashes on the ground, and the dog got them. And the dog, I don't remember the particulars now, but the dog, you know, made him kind of hyper and sick from it. So they figured out that it was the ashes from the cigarettes that caused that. So it's good for us to know with that set up. Guide dogs.
Thank you. Are we doing okay with time, Susan?
We're just about, I would say we might have time for maybe two more questions.
Question. Okay. Oh, question. I've heard something about third-hand smoke. Do you know much about that?
Yes. I'll explain what third-hand smoke is. Third-hand smoke is the residue left behind from second-hand smoke. So it gets on every surface, the carpeting, the walls, the tables. A study was done in an apartment building where a smoker used to live. And even though the apartment manager had it repainted, had the carpets cleaned, all of that, they tested the blood of a child, like a toddler or even 1-year-old who was crawling around. His parents never smoked and didn't come from a smoking household, yet they found nicotine in the blood of this baby. So, and also for people who smoke, then the residue gets on their clothing and their hands and their skin, and then they go pet their dog or their cat, and then the cat or the dog licks their fur, and then they're ingesting the nicotine and the poisons and formaldehyde and all the stuff that comes with it. It's also very bad for birds. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think this is going to be the last question.
Yes, this is Sam here. I have noticed that we, the blind, tend to be exercising, you know, a whole lot less than the average people, I think. And, you know, I've kept reminding myself. So I go out walking with my wife, and I go tandem biking with my boys. Mm-hmm. And I have a question that, are there any organization that offering help, their walking company to walk out with the blind? They say when someone who want to exercise can call in and to set up time to go out to walk together. That would give, you know, the blind who don't have the sighted a guide around him or her. If you are aware of that, let me know. Otherwise, I would say that we could, you know, ask more in the local here centers or organization to start that kind of program.
Yeah, I really, really like that idea, and I'm glad you bring up this issue. Because vision is definitely an issue in regards to falls. I mean, even people who wear bifocals or something, you know, anyone is at risk for falling, especially if they're tired, if they're dragging their feet, if they're in a hurry, you know, anybody can fall. what comes to my mind that you may not have thought of, and I think it's fabulous to have like walking groups. Breathe California has participated over the years in seniors mall walk events. There's three in the city of San Jose that are put on by the council members. And what it is that walking groups, well, this is a whole event, but let me describe what can be done and has been done. Seniors will meet in a mall on designated day and time before the stores open, because there's security guards there that open the building, and they meet there and they walk. Now, what is good about that? It's climate controlled. It's secure. The floor is flat. There's wide aisles. And so that might be a thought, and it's open to anyone. So anybody who wants to meet at Valley Fair or Oak Ridge at a certain time, you know, go there, do it. Eastridge, yes, Eastridge, yes.
I have a comment. The Blind Center, I know they use that walking group.
They still do.
And they have fitness classes, yoga courses. I'd like to, I go to that one.
We need microphones.
You need microphones if you're going to do this. We're saying that the Blind Center has walking groups.
Thank you. Yeah. The Blind Center has a yoga class from 12 to 1 on Mondays, and I've been in that for about a year and a half now, and I've noticed that at least one other person in this room has gone to that, and it's very fun, as well, I won't mention any names, but she can tell you, or maybe not tell you, whatever she wants, but I think it's very fun.
We are out of time, but I want to thank you, Janet, and thank you, Viet, for providing such an informative program. And we are just delighted, and we hope you can come back again. I know you have many more topics to cover with us, and so we're delighted that you provided such good education here. It is now 10:57, so we'll start back at about 7 after 11. You get a 10-minute break.
Can I get a microphone?
Yes, Michelle would like a microphone.
Coming.
Thank you. So just to remind you, if you didn't get a chance to get raffle tickets and would like some, I have them. It's a 50-50 raffle today. Also, I have meltaways for $4 a bag. Candy bars and Welch's fruit snacks are both $1 each. And I'm sorry, but the only dark chocolate I have at this point are the meltaways. Thank you.
Okay, see you back here in 10.